A previously recorded Matt Slick show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing out there? It's a nice Tuesday. It is the 9th of February, 2021, for the podcasters. As usual, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you're a newbie, this is a Christian apologetic show. It's kind of a call-in talk show. I don't know if you want to call it. People call, and then they ask questions, and I try and answer them. And that's what we do here. I am a definite, I guess you could say, defender of the Christian faith. I believe in the truth of Jesus Christ, God in flesh, the Trinity, and all of that stuff related to who Jesus is. All right, so why don't you give me a call? Let's see, 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. Give me a call, and we have a special guest on right now for a moment or two. Eric, hey, are you there?
I am there. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right. All right, everybody, this is Eric Johnson. He works at Mormonism Research Ministry, and he's an expert on Mormonism. He's a great guy, and works with Bill McKeever. And so what are we going to talk about for about 5 minutes? What could that possibly be?
Well, I think we ought to talk about the Israel trip that we're talking about having with carm.org, the Holy Land, in March of 2022. It's a trip that you went on in 2013. And you've been talking about the past few weeks. We're just trying to find out how many people are interested, because the trip's not going to happen unless we get enough people to show interest to be able to start taking registration. And so we have a website, carmisrael.com, carmisrael.com, and that's C-A-R-M, and then Israel, one word, .com. And on the top there, you'll see a link that goes to a survey. It says, take the survey here. It tells you, this website tells you everything you need to know about what this trip is about. It's a 13-day trip. We're going to see so many different places. We really do. We're going to go on the Sea of Galilee, do a boat ride. We're going to go behind the Western Wall. We'll go to Masada, Hezekiah's Tunnel. We're going to hike through En Gedi and Dan, drink water out of Jacob's well. There's so many different things that we're going to do, but it's a really good trip, because if you have never been to the Holy Land, in fact, I have a little subheading I just came up with last week. You've read the book, now experience the Bible lands in person. And what will make this trip so special is that, Matt, you and your wife, Anique, are going to go on this trip, and you'll be given a lot of the devotionals wherever we go. We have a guide, Andre, a friend of mine. He's a Christian in Israel, and he's a former archaeological student, has a degree in archaeology, and he'll be taking us to sites all over Israel. But the cost and everything is on there. We're going to be flying out of New Jersey. It tells you everything there, but we haven't started to sign up because, we're not sure how many people are actually interested in this trip. Right now, we've only had a few people fill out the survey, so we need to find out this month. So anybody who wants to go with Matt Slick, I'll be on the trip as well. We're going to, and this is probably going to be a smaller trip, smaller group, excuse me. We're going to limit the trip to one bus, and it will be a lot of fun to go with people who enjoy apologetics but who want to walk where Jesus walked.
That's right. Now, let me ask you, how many trips have you been on? You've been on quite a few, I know.
I have been to Israel in the past 10 years. I've been more than a dozen times. I think it's 13, if I'm not mistaken. I was there in February, March this year, or this last year in 2020, when the whole virus thing was happening. It was quite interesting to be there when nobody else was. I was in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre two different times, and there was nobody else in that entire church. If you've been to Israel, you know that's impossible. But because the virus had cleared out people, I had a chance to do some fun things there. But yeah, I go every year, and I love taking people to the Holy Land. And I'll be doing a lot of teaching through emails and other things like that, sharing some of my experience. You'll see a lot of videos on the webpage on KarmIsrael.com, and a lot of those are mine that I have done. All those pictures you'll see on there are also mine. There's some really handsome pictures that you have taken. One that has some ruins in the background with your glasses. You look really cool, Matt.
Well, it's the only picture I've ever looked good in. If Anique's there, my wife's there, then I always look well. She raises a level up quite a bit. So,
yeah, everybody who signs up is going to get a book called The Holy Land for Christian Travelers, as well as a DVD, Jericho on Earth, that was produced by my friend Joel Kramer. We're going to go to Jericho, and Jericho actually proves, as far as the timing of Jericho, the battle that was fought at Jericho, the walls came tumbling down. We're going to see evidence for that. So that video, he does a great job of explaining that. But I just can't overemphasize how important it is for a Christian, if they really want to read the Bible differently than they ever have
That's
before.
Right.
Because I've had people tell me, it was like reading black and white. But when you go there, you're going to really know the places. You're going to know the geography. You're going to get to know the people. You're going to see real Bedouin shepherds out there with their sheep and their goats. And oh my, there's been a lot of different stories in the Bible that deal with sheep and goats. So those are the kinds of things that you can't replicate by watching a video or reading a book. So that's why I think, as you can attest, you've been talking about it these past couple of weeks, of how meaningful that trip in 2013 was for you.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I still talk about it. I like to brag that I went into the Qumran Cave 1, and I tried to walk on the Sea of Galilee, but it didn't work out for me. Just all kinds of stuff. So,
yeah. Well, we do take a boat ride out there, and even something like that. You're out there on a sea that Jesus would have known that landscape, even though there are hotels and other things on some of the hills there. One time I was in the Sea of, I was on a boat ride in the Sea of Galilee. This is back in 1990, before I started organizing my own tours. We were out there on a boat, and all of a sudden the wind picked up. And I'm not kidding. We were holding on, and the wind took the lens cap on my 35-millimeter camera, and it blew it into the sea. It was a very strong 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden it stopped. And so Dr. Ronald Youngblood, who was the guy that did the tour, he opened up his Bible and he read the passage where the disciples thought they were going to die because all of a sudden, you know, you had this storm. And he says, this happens all the time because look at the location. We're in a bowl. And
right.
So serious windstorms happen on a regular basis. I have never read that passage ever again without remembering that time on the Sea of Galilee.
Right. Yeah, I remember when we went to the place where they actually let the man down through the roof. And we looked down, we could see that room and synagogues and, being in those places, like the street that Jesus almost assuredly would have walked on to get from one place to another. Yeah,
it's, what I like about what we have, Matt, on this tour, too, is we have sites. You're going to see the normal sites. You're going to see Capernaum and Caesarea and the places in Jerusalem. You're going to see all of those that people would normally see. But we're going for a few extra days. Most people go on a 9- or 10-day trip. We're going on a 13-day trip. One of the days, we're going to go up from Jerusalem, and we're going to see places like Samaria and Shechem. And we're going to see Jacob's Well, like I mentioned earlier. We're going to drink water out of Jacob's Well. Many people don't go to sites like that to be able to experience there's... You can't see everything even in 13 days. It would take you over a month to pretty much get to see in detail everything that is available there. But the sites that we have, I have, over the years, I've trimmed it down and made it into a trip that, if you're going to go on one trip, I really think this is the one, and especially to go with you. That will be a lot of fun to hear what you have to say on the devotionals at the different places. We usually do about 2 or 3 devotionals a day. We don't want to overdo it, but we'll do it at some of the places. Like, can you imagine speaking at Mount Carmel? You're going to tell the story of what took place at Mount Carmel, Elijah. I mean, and you're standing right there on Mount Carmel, or sitting there, we're listening to you, and be able to experience that, to walk in some of these archaeological sites that are real. This is talking about real people and real places and describing real events. As I mentioned with Jericho, for instance, we have good evidence to help us know that Jericho, as described in the Bible, really did take place.
Yes, it did. Yeah, I remember giving a devotion in one of the caves. And
at Bethlehem.
One of the caves that Jesus, you know, the kind of cave he would have been born in. And that was fun and interesting and humbling all at the same time. So, but you know what I tell people? But I
and
really
those are
enjoy
shepherd's caves. Yeah,
right.
you can actually visit those, whether the shepherds were in those exact caves. And then we'll go into the Church of the Nativity, where traditionally that's where Jesus was born. And we'll go to several of these churches, and a lot of people say, well, why do you go there? Well, because they have historical significance. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Church of the Nativity. Yeah, there's a lot of incense, smells and bells, I guess you could call it. And it kind of takes away maybe some of it, but at the same time, we know, even despite all of that, we're at places that are real places, and we're not worshiping the site or anything like that, but we're going as pilgrims. We want to experience the Holy Land, and we want to fall in love not only with our Bibles, but with Jesus all over again. And
amen.
I think when you're walking where Jesus walked, I think it's a pretty incredible experience.
Didn't you say, we had a break coming up here pretty quickly, but didn't you say that if people sign up now or something, they get $100 off, or what was that?
Yeah, what they need to do. We're not doing sign-ups yet, because you thought you were going on the trip and you haven't responded to the survey, we don't know that you're wanting to go. We've got to have at least 20 people, and we need to have that by this month. So if we're going to do this, you need to take the survey. Just go to the website, carmisrael.com. And where it says, take the survey here, click that. It's four questions. We're going to give you $100 off. The average person who has taken the survey takes 1 minute to answer the four questions. We're basically going to pay you, what does that come out to, 100 times 60? We're going to pay you $6,000 worth, I mean, per hour, I guess, if you wanted to say it that way. Take the survey. It's $100. You'll get that off. If we end up registering and you sign up, you're going to get $100 off. So take that survey. That's the only way we're going to know if there's sufficient interest to keep going. Because if we don't have that by February 28th, we're probably not going to continue. So right now we have about 6 or 10 people or something like that. We still need some people who would show serious interest.
That's right. Well, we'll keep mentioning it, and we'll just see what happens. If God wants us to go, we'll go. And if he doesn't, we won't. No big deal. So I hope people sign up. Well, thanks a lot, Eric. Really appreciate it. You're the man. Are you there? Did I lose you? Oh, maybe we lost him. Anyway, folks, that was Eric Johnson from MRM. Check out the site for going to Israel, carmisrael.com. Let's get on the phones with Carl from Florida. Carl, welcome. You're on the air. Uh-oh, we have a problem. Hello? Uh-huh. I think we got a problem. Hey, okay. Testing, 1, 2. Hello.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We had a little bit of a sound problem there. It happens once every 3 or so months, and we had to reboot something. But it worked out nicely because it was coincidental with the commercial. I think we lost about 15 or 20 seconds of Eric Johnson. But nevertheless, hey, folks, check it out, carmisrael.com. And you can check out the Israel trip if you are interested. Let's get on the air with Dave from Kansas City. Dave, are you there?
Yeah. Matt, first of all, when you come on every night, I begin by praying for you to have wisdom and guidance and the Holy Spirit direct your thoughts and advice.
Thank you, because that's what Charlie Spine and I are. We work the video kind of part of it. Gets broadcast for Facebook and YouTube, and we always pray the same thing, you know. And so I'm very appreciative of that. Thank you.
You're welcome. I had a question. My son's on an alt-right podcast, and these guys are very anti-Jewish. My question is pretty overreaching. I probably can't unpack it all in this session, but two things. First of all, when Jacob blessed Judah, and he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes, was that the first coming of Jesus or the second?
That's an obscure passage I've not gone over for a long time, but the scepter issue, believe it or not, has been traced down through history or legendary tracing. And there's some rumors that it might be in the possession of the aristocracy in England, believe it or not. But I don't know if that's all legit.
Yeah, all British true. Israelism?
No.
British Israelism?
No. But the actual crown may have it indirectly. We I don't know, but it's just some of the stuff I've heard over the years, you know. Your son said he's listening to somebody. I didn't quite get who that was. Who's anti-Jewish? Who was that?
Very alt-right. It's a very alt-right channel with a Russian Orthodox and a together guy calls himself Super Luther, and basically they're very anti-Semitic, and they've kind of conflagrated. They say that.
Okay.
Hebrew, Israelite, and Jews are three different things.
Oh,
and
okay.
Abrahamic covenant. Doesn't
yeah, they don't. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just wackos. Hebrews, Jews, Israelites are synonymous for the same thing, and they just came into different usages in the Bible at different times. So Hebrew has to deal with, you know, just referring to people out of Abraham, and the Jews out of Judah, Jews, Judah. And Jacob became Israel, hence the Israelites. They're just basically interchangeable terms, okay?
Yeah, and they get into Ashkenazi Jews and Sephardic Jews, Hebrew Israelites, and it just gets far afield. I just need to do some study on it, because it's really getting scary. Please just pray for me for some wisdom to address that.
Yeah, I think I got you what you said, because it came in a little bit, but yeah, so I don't know what this place is, but it would be great if they could call in and we could have a discussion. I love to discuss things like this with people like that, these anti-Jewish people. But Romans 11, 24 through 26, God is not done with Israel, so they should not be anti-Semitic.
They,
it's ridiculous.
You know, they obviously point to the fact that the predominantly of Jewish millionaires in this world disproportionately, and the Epsteins and the Harvey Weinstein, and they get into a whole bunch.
They're illogical.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot. So they're just picking on them.
Okay.
That's all it is. Okay.
All right. Thanks.
They're whacked. All right, man. Okay, God bless. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Carl from Florida. Carl, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just doing radio. So what's up?
Good to hear from you. I just got a basic question. I know you talked about, because I came from the Church of Christ, right? And, I just wanted, like, three, main point of why do you think the Church of Christ is a cult, and, like, are those, would you consider those people saved, or is this, like...
The Church of Christ official doctrine is cultic, because... I got some binging behind you or something. I don't know what that is. But, because it adds works to salvation, so it denies a true gospel and denies justification by faith alone in Christ alone, so therefore it makes it a non-Christian cult, and that's why. Okay?
So one point is because it adds faith to salvation?
No, they add works. They require baptism, they require baptism by immersion in order to be saved. You can't be saved without being water baptized. So they deny the truth of the gospel message, that we are justified by faith in Christ. They teach by faith and works, or faith and a ceremony. And so they add something to the gospel, and therefore they don't have the true gospel. So it makes them a cult.
Would you consider the people there saved, or are they just lost?
If they believe official Church of Christ doctrine, then no.
Okay. Awesome. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's a serious thing.
And then, the last one is, how would you be able to, like, help them get out of this cult life? You know, I came from there, and I still have a lot of friends that goes there, and, you know.
They're brainwashed into thinking you have to be baptized in order to be saved. They take verses out of context. They don't study biblical theology and things like that. And, their works righteousness based also, because you can lose your salvation in the Church of Christ. And so, in addition to all of that, to keep your salvation, you got to be good. You can't do certain bad things, etc. So it's just it's a cult. So one of the things that I do with Catholics, with others, with Eastern Orthodox, with people like people who hold the baptism as being part of salvation, I'll say, does the Bible teach us that we're justified by faith? Because Romans 5:1 says, having therefore been justified by faith. And they have to say yes, because that's what the Bible says. I said, does it say that? Yes. Then are we justified by faith when we have faith? That's the question. Are we justified by faith when we have faith? If they say yes, they agree with the scriptures, but they disagree with the Church of Christ. But if they say no, they disagree with scriptures. So that's it. I mean, there's either way, they're stuck. So we're justified by faith when we have faith. That's what the Bible teaches. Okay?
So that's what I'm saying. So how would you be able to, like, help those people that's in that church? Like, I still got plenty of friends that live that, you know, that's in that church, you know.
Well,
so
what you do is you witness to them, you ask them questions, you go to the CARM website, you read articles on the baptism, have them call up. I'll fly out there and debate their best people on a baptism, whatever. But you pray for them, and you present the truth to them, and try and get them to look at the Word of God. That's what you got to do. Okay?
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right. All right, man. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless you. Hey, folks, there's the break. We have 3 open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick. All right, but welcome back to the show. We have 3 open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's get to James. James, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, Matt. I have a question. I told your screener the wrong verse. It's in Revelation 2:17.
Okay.
Where Jesus says, to the one who overcome, I will give the secret manna and a white stone with a name written on it that only that person will know. Mm-hmm. Well, what is the secret manna and the significance of the white stone with the name?
The secret manna seems to be contrasted with the eating of the idolatrous meat, and that was before. So, and that's in verse Revelation 2:17. Let him who hears the Spirit says the churches who comes, I'll give him some of the hidden manna. Well, manna, you know, was the kept the Jews alive. So the hidden manna probably has something to do with the life of food that is there. Probably, maybe even related to the tree of life. I don't know, but that's a good question. And
what about the white stone with the name that only the recipient will know? What's that all about?
Well, the white stone was a symbol of purity. And so from what I understand, when a person completed a penalty, paid a fine, not like, you know, you had a little tax problem, but I mean like a jail sentence, or, you know, it was a serious issue. Once they've completed that, they were given a white stone, and it was a symbol of their innocence, or their debt had been paid. So it looks like that's the case here, with a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Now, that can't mean that God doesn't know the name, okay, obviously. But yeah. It has something to do with a new name. And, the thing about names in the Hebrew is names mean things. And the Indian culture here in America, you know, white horse and, flying dove and running bear, those are the kinds of names, because they had meaning like that. And that's what we have in, same thing with Hebrew names, like Methuselah means when he dies it will come. So with a new name, it might be that the new name is a compilation of what it is for you, your character, your essence, who you are in Christ. It might be something like that, but I don't know.
Now, would that point to maybe kind of like an intimacy between, of course, everyone in heaven, we will all be full of, see God full, and he'll know us all full. But is there also going to be some intimacy between each individual person in heaven and God?
Well, yeah, but I don't know. See, the word intimacy has too much of a physical connotation to it, so I'm cautious about that.
Or something special. I mean, like I'm a former teacher, and with all my students, there was one thing. One student raised goats, and I talked to them about goats, and one student had a brother in the Navy and talked about the Navy. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Something.
Yeah, you're talking about fellowship.
Just
will there be a fellowship, relationship? Yeah. And that's definitely going to be the case. We will have that kind of intimacy with God, that kind of relationship and fellowship with him. It'll be it's going to be weird, because it's not going to be filtered through our sinfulness. You know, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be great. But, yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Good enough. All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Well, God bless. Okay. All right. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's get on the line with Tamika from Virginia. Tamika?
All right. Hey, folks, we have four.
You got to turn your radio down. And Tamika, you're on the air.
876. Let's get on the line with
Hello. Tamika. You turn your radio down if you can. Okay, hi.
Can you? I'm sorry. My phone. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I
okay.
can.
Okay. I wanted to ask a question. Who is the Antichrist?
Boy, I tell you, that's a wide open door for some insults and jokes for a lot of people. We don't know who the Antichrist is, as far as, is he alive right now? We don't know.
I mean, but like, is it a person or is it a spirit?
Oh. No, it's a person. Okay.
Oh, it is a person.
Yes.
Okay, and another thing I wanted to ask, is magic, is that some part of the devil, or is that just a fun thing that is okay, that is acceptable by our God?
Well, I didn't quite understand that.
Magic, like going to a magic show, is that wrong?
Oh, no. Going to a magic show, because it's not really the occultic magic and spirit connection. It's just somebody who's really good at tricking us and making us think,
okay.
Yeah, that's all that is.
Okay.
So that's no big deal.
That's
you can go to shows like that. You know.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Well,
all
you're
right,
welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, folks, we have five wide open lines. Nobody's waiting. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. Now, the Antichrist, let me talk about the Antichrist a little bit. According to 2 Thessalonians 2, he is called a man of lawlessness, and he cannot arrive until the apostasy comes first. What is the apostasy? The apostasy means to fall away from the truth. That's what it means. That means the Christian church as a whole will fall away from the truth. Now, this is a serious, serious warning. Because we have to understand something, as we Christians think, that just because we're Christians, we think we're going to have everything fine. The Christian church as a whole will fall away. That doesn't mean every individual will. It means that Christianity is going to present more and more secularism and false doctrines that infiltrate inside the Christian church. And they are definitely real. They're definitely occurring. Some of the false teachers that are present day, and here I'm going to step on some toes. People don't like it when I do, but it's not my problem. It's yours. Joel Osteen is a bad teacher. Joyce Meyer teaches heresy. Kenneth Copeland teaches heresy. You know, sometimes I'll watch TV on Sundays. I can only do it for 5 or 10 minutes when I watch the religious channels, because I want to throw things at the TV. Because, you know, I watched something, I think it was today for a little bit, actually, and two different programs. Send in $30 to get this little bitty book. And, you know, they're always trying to raise money. And I was thinking, what would I do if I was on TV and we had to pay the bills? If I was on TV, I'd say, folks, we got bills to pay. If you want to support us, support us. And if you don't, that's okay. This is what we need. And if you could support us, go here. And that's it. I mean, I'm not going to do gimmicky things, you know, even though I know that a lot of gimmicks are there. But you see, the thing is, what does it mean for the Christian church to go apostate? It means that Protestantism is going to, maybe go back and join in and accept Catholicism, because Catholicism is definitely not Christian. It is bad, bad news. Now, who is the Antichrist? Let me talk about some of the stuff about him. When he arrives, it'll be a male, a person. It says in Zechariah 11:17, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword will be on his arm and on his right eye. His arm will be totally withered and his right eye will be blind. So some think that because of it, he will die but come back. So some theologians believe he'll suffer a head wound that may be fatal, probably will be fatal, dies and comes back. And so it says in Revelation 13, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like of a lion and dragon, gave him power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. And so what we see here is it looks like he's going to have his right arm withered and things, and he'll be a wounded individual. So let's see. And then the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. And I was trying to find, looking through one of my articles on this, there's some hint that the Antichrist might be homosexual. And I've read some of that in some of the commentators where, I don't have the verse listed, where it says his desire will not be for women. And that there's a statement like that. Maybe someone could find it in the chat room and I can go to it later on. So that's a possibility. We don't know. And there's also a new theory that it might be, the Antichrist might come out of the Islamic nations. And I have not checked into that. It might be the case, but I just don't know. So it would make sense, though, in some areas, in some respects, because then the Muslims might follow someone who is a Muslim, and who knows. But anyway, that's that. Hey, folks, we have 5 open lines, so we have a break coming up, so why don't you fill in the blanks, okay, during the last segment of the hour. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We will be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. We have nobody calling in, and I'm going to take this opportunity to get the number out if you want to call back. And I mentioned earlier about false prophets, false teachers. I'm going to read some stuff from Kenneth Copeland. I'm going to read some stuff from him and some others, Benny Hinn, some of the things that they have taught, which is damnable heresy. So I don't believe that these men are Christians. Now, that's just my opinion. You might take umbrage with that. But when you read what they're teaching, You have to ask yourself, can they be saved? So Kenneth Copeland said in 1985, heaven has a north and a south and an east and a west. Consequently, it must be a planet. He said in 1989, faith is a power force. It is a tangible force. It is a conductive force. He said in 1989 again, you don't think Earth was first, do you? Huh? Well, you don't think that God made man in his image and then made Earth in some other image. This is not anything new under the sun. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is all a copy. It's a copy of home. It's a copy of the mother planet where God lives. He made a little one just like his and put us on it. He said in 1991, Adam's body, and God were exactly the same size. He said in, following the faith of Abraham, he said, God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself. He was not subordinate to God. Even Adam, hold on. Adam is as much like God as you could get, just the same as Jesus. Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh. This is all just flaming heresy. This is what Kenneth Copeland was teaching. 1984, Adam was made in the image of God. He was as much female as he was male. So Adam was made both female and male. Where's he getting this stuff? You know, it's ludicrous. He said God had no avenue of lasting faith or moving in the earth. He had to have a covenant with somebody. He had to be invited in. In other words, he couldn't come in. God is on the outside looking in. In order to have any say-so in the earth, he's going to have to be in agreement with a man here. This is ludicrous idiocy. Kenneth Copeland said, I was shocked when I found out who the biggest failure in the Bible actually is. The biggest one is God. I mean, he lost his top-ranking, most anointed angel, the first man he ever created, the first woman he ever created, the whole earth and all the fullness therein, a third of the angels, at least. That's a big loss, man. Now, the reason you don't think God is a failure is he never said he's a failure, and you're not a failure till you say you're one. So, you see, this is the kind of stuff that he taught. And, let me read some stuff from Benny Hinn. Adam was a super being when God created him, which means he used to fly. Adam's original plan is that the woman was to bring forth children out of her side. She was created with an opening in her side, and children were supposed to be born. And I get that for the very fact that you'll never see birth spiritually except from the side. I mean, man. He says, the spoken word became a human being. The spoken word became flesh. The spoken word got legs on, arms, eyes, hair, a body, and he was no longer saying, thus saith the Lord. He was saying, I say unto you. The word that was spoken through the lip of prophets was now walking on the seashore of Galilee. Okay, that's not a problem. All right. He says that, so he has some good. Never, ever, ever go to the Lord and say, if your will be done. Don't allow such faith-destroying words to be spoken from your mouth. Don't say if God's will. Wow. He says, when you say I'm a Christian, you're saying I am Mashiach. In the Hebrew, I'm a little Messiah walking on earth. Benny Hinn also said, God came to earth and touched a piece of dust and turned it into a God. Are you a child of God? Then you're divine. Are you a child of God? Then you're not human. Just idiocy. He says, I'm not part of him, I am him. The word has become flesh in me. When my hand touches someone, it's the hand of Jesus touching somebody. Some of you may have heard of Fred Price. God can't do anything in this earth realm except that we, the body of Christ, allow him to do. Fred Price said that. We have to allow God to do that. It's like that song, it reminds me, I forgot the name of the song. It's a popular worship song now. You know, God, we give you permission. You know, this arrogance that is replete in so much bad theology and teaching. Now, God was out of the business. God was the man on was out of the earth realm. God had no more stock in this earth realm. This is Fred Price again. The only way God could get back into his earth realm, he had to have an invitation. Really? God had an invitation? And then Kenneth Copeland said, back to him, that Jesus said that he never claimed to be God, that he had a vision. And Jesus appeared to him and said, I never claimed to be God. I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous, a lot of the things that they say. And I haven't even read this stuff from Joyce Meyer, which is just as bad. Let's get to Michelle from Virginia. Michelle, welcome. You are on the air.
Hello. How are you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello. I'm doing okay. How are you?
Fine. I had asked a question about nowadays we're living in a time where if anybody knows that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it's like you're a target.
Yeah.
They stalk you. They hack you. I mean, they do everything to you now. How do we fight back? Because the internet is basically giving them a freeway.
Well, I am a bit of a tech guy, and just to jump straight in, I recommend you get a VPN, a virtual private network. And a virtual private network will allow you to be able to spoof your IP address. IP is Internet Protocol. And so every computer has an IP address, and they can trace your IP address to your specific location. But if you have a VPN, it can go to a different location. And so I could go to almost any server in the world that are provided through the particular VPN that I use. I use Unlimited VPN. And it's cost $100 bucks. And it's for life, and I can use five computers, including phones, that, you know, phones and computer. Also, I'd recommend you use DuckDuckGo. Don't go to Google anymore. Do DuckDuckGo. Duck, D-U-C-K. I don't know why they call it that, but that's what it is, DuckDuckGo. And it does not harvest your information and things like that. I also recommend that you get a malware program. Malwarebytes is good. Now, I'm not getting paid for any of these advertisements, but Malwarebytes is a good thing, and to use it on your computer. And get something called CCleaner and things like that. And Kim Komando on the radio, she's a brilliant strategist about computers. She's awesome. And she, you've listened to that radio show, or I think she's got a website too, Kim Komando, K-O-M, I think it's Komando. And she has a lot of stuff and a lot of recommendations, and I would just go with basically whatever she says. She's that good. So I used to be a computer tech.
A lot of us need it now. They even think you follow Jesus Christ. They target you.
Though they're going to
try to make
targeted.
Your life in hell. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, I would recommend. It's going to sound paranoid, but I'd recommend that what you do is order. You can go to websites, and you can order a little bag that is. You can put your phone in, and they can't hear you. Either wrap it up in your phone in there, and they can't hear you on your phone because they can track you. They can track your phones. They can turn on the microphones, whatever they want. Listen to everything you've got to say.
They do take pictures. They steal my things. They try to sabotage me getting jobs.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm just talking using it as a springboard for other stuff. So I'd recommend that people get stuff like that.
Okay. So also, I know people probably want to hear this question. The question I just asked
right. too. Well, what they can also do is up to, I think, 1,000 feet away, is take a laser, put it on your window, and you have a light bulb. And the light bulb is sensitive to vibrations. And so when you speak, it can cause sound waves to hit the light bulb, and then because of it, the light will actually flicker, but we can't perceive it. But they have machines that they can put on your window, and they can see that vibration and interpret it into speech.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff people can do. They can drive by your house, and I know that they have machines and technology that can drive by your house and aim a camera at your house and tell where everybody is in the house. Just that fast.
Mm-hmm.
And they can tap into your router, your wireless router, and it's like a radar, and it'll bounce off your body. They can tap into that, so you can find out where you are there. So
wow!
Oh yeah! Like I said, I used to be a computer tech for a few years, and I learned a lot there. But I also, since I don't watch sports, in fact, I didn't even know the Super Bowl was on until I saw something, and it says after the Super Bowl. I went, oh, it's on? I mean, seriously, I had no clue. I just don't watch sports. But I've been watching, I watch science, and I watch stuff like this, and those are my idea of a good time is watching documentaries. And so I watch about all kinds of stuff. And this is how I learned through some of the stuff. They can also have helicopters that are virtually silent out there. And they have ways of spying and other stuff. And there's a lot more stuff they can do.
Amber, I got an Amber alert the other day, and this just took over my phone.
Yeah, well, that's because you signed up for it. So if you don't want Amber alerts, you just there's a way to opt out of them. But I signed up for Amber alerts.
They showed me how to shut it down, it off, because it drove me crazy.
Well, here's another thing I'd recommend is that people update their phones and update their computers all the time. Always do updates, because the updates are for security issues, because people always want to get in to your computers, and your computer, anybody's computer, could be hacked. And people can do it without you even knowing it. Now, I'm not trying to make everybody paranoid, but I recommend that you get something like Malwarebytes. And if you're on Windows, make sure that you have a good antivirus. And you can go to Kim Komando's website, and you can check, see what she recommends for antivirus stuff. Me, I just use the Windows program that's built into it, and then I use Malwarebytes, and then I run a system scan on it about weekly.
Okay. Well, I just bought an iPhone, trying to figure out how to operate that, but so far, so good.
Just go on the web, get your VPN, do DuckDuckGo, and then they won't be able to trace you.
All right. Thank you.
That's what I recommend to people. All right.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't get to talk about that very often, but... Yeah, I worked at HP for about 5 years, and for the last couple of years, I was on the security team, and we would have to go through and remove viruses, prevent virus infections, and things like that. It took hours sometimes, so I learned some stuff there. I got a lot more to learn, of course, and I just kind of love that stuff. I love computers, and love the computer I've got. Oh, it is so fast and nice. I can sit here. Man, one person came in and saw my setup and said, man, you could have launched a space shuttle with this. I go, yep. Yeah, it's good. Oh, yeah. But a VPN, Virtual Private Network, you can get one. I use VPN Unlimited. There's lots of them out there. And mine costs $100 for life. And that's it. And you have the 5 computers. And I think it's useful. And also DuckDuckGo, all one word. I don't use Google search anymore. I use DuckDuckGo. They don't trace and sell your information and things like that. And there's more you can do. But for now, we're out of time. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, folks, we'll be back on there tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.